voicecommunityfuneralhome.com. We are here when you need us. Boyce Community Funeral Home is a proud sponsor of KAYT.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
Get ready, set, go with God at the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church's Vacation Bible School 2022. The theme for this Vacation Bible School is Champions in Life, Monday, June 20th through Saturday, June 25th from 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Invite all of your family and friends. There's going to be a fun day Saturday, the 25th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the church, the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church. 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway in Alexandria. Another proud sponsor of this station.
Would you turn to John chapter 17? I want to read verses 1 through 5. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. You may be seated. I'm going to try to maintain my composure. I want to talk about a labor of love. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
There is a labor of love. Among the great disciplines that characterize the life of our Lord Jesus was his perpetual determination to practice genuine love toward those who crossed his pathway. If we would be true followers of Jesus Christ, we must see life as an opportunity to love, and we must see people as those those to whom we have the opportunity of demonstrating genuine Christian love. Today, as we sit as a body of believers, we are poised before our Lord's table, because today is our communion. And these elements of which we will partake, I'm talking about the wine and the bread, speak both simply and eloquently of the mission and purpose of our Lord on the earth. One of the many facets of Jesus' life and ministry had to do with his own concept of his ministry in regards to the will of his heavenly Father. You see, when Jesus spoke the words that are recorded in this 17th chapter, praise God, he had come to a very lonely moment in his life. Oh yeah, Peter, James, and John, the so-called inner circle of his disciples. They had gone asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. They could not stay awake to watch and to pray with him. But guess what? His heavenly Father was near. And in this great high priestly prayer, Jesus poured out his heart to his heavenly Father. You see, one statement in his prayer stands out to us, and that's verse 4. Perhaps I need to read it again. It says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. My brothers and my sisters, if Jesus had not accomplished what he implies in this verse, oh Lord, hallelujah, somebody ought to be ready to shout. All else would be lost. You see, he labored in love for you and for me. So as we look at our text, there are three things I want us to see as we look at this labor of love. Very first thing, praise God. How many of y'all was on the Sunday school lesson this morning? Yes, sir. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. First of all, Jesus glorified the Father by his teachings and by his miracles. You see, the word glorify simply means to worship and to give glory to give the high praise. God is glorified before man when man can come to know, first of all, what God is like and who he really is. And this was the first part of Jesus' mission upon the earth. You see, when Jesus came, he represented everything about God, so much so that the Apostle Paul, as he was writing to the church at Colossus, he penned these words at Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. He says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You see, when Paul is saying, what Paul is saying is that God dwells in a perfect, sinless human body. I'm talking about a body with human emotions, a body with human understanding, a body that had human interactions. In other words, Jesus showed man God. And thus God was glorified in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. It was Jesus' teaching that brought to man, I'm talking about to you and I, brought us maturity, it brought us fulfillment, and it brought us perfection. I'm talking about the word of his law. You see, we have to say this because there were some that thought when Jesus came on board that he come to do away with the law and the prophets. So he had to remind them in that Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, verse 15, Matthew says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets." He said, "I am not come to destroy, but guess what? I come to fulfill." And praise God, there is something about his teaching. You see, we have not matured spiritually until we adhere to his teaching. Amen. Let me let that sink in for a second there. Want me to say it again? Let me say it again. Praise God. We will not mature spiritually until we adhere to his teaching. Amen. Not only that, our lives will not be fulfilled until we adhere to his teaching. One other thing, we cannot fully understand or comprehend the law, praise God, until we adhere to his teaching. Amen. You see, in Jesus' so-called Sermon on the Mount, he laid down with unmistakable clarity how his people are to live. Amen. Some of y'all know. Y'all know the Sermon on the Mount takes you from Matthew chapter 5 all the way through Matthew chapter 7. So I'm talking about from the Beatitudes, praise God, all the way through where you find the text about those two builders who built their houses. One built this house on a rock foundation, and another one built his house up on the sand. And Jesus set forth the most spiritual obstacle course imaginable for man. Amen. Why do I say that? Because if the fact is told, none of us can live the Sermon on the Mount, praise God, unless the Spirit of Christ indwells on the inside of us. I believe I said 2 weeks ago, amen, regardless of what your persuasion might be, whether or not you're Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, you name it, you need the Holy Spirit in your life. Praise God, because without the Holy Spirit in your life, can I remind you today, praise God, you are vulnerable to do just about anything. Amen. So we have to have that Spirit dwelling in our lives. Amen. And if you are a true believer in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that Spirit will speak to you. Oh, don't tell me that. So I heard a couple of people say, oh, yes. He'll speak to you. Praise God. He'll tell you when you're getting ready to do something wrong. Oh, yes, he will. I know that. I know that. He'll tell you when you're getting ready to do something wrong. You see, we have to yield to him as we die to self. Let me say that again. We have to yield to him as we die to self. That's why Paul could say, I am crucified, praise God, with him. Nevertheless, I live, praise God, yet not I, but Christ who lives on the inside of me. So you see, we have to yield to him as we die to self. And you see, this is the paradox of our faith. Amen. Sort of like a contradictory, but something have to die so that we live. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Praise God. You see, life and victory comes through death and defeat. Oh, boy, I got to let down. I just stand back for a minute and you allow that just to resonate in your spirit? Praise God. Life and victory come through death and defeat. Praise God. You're going to have to kill. Oh, man, I know what I'm talking about. You're going to have to kill some of these desires. Amen. And as long as you allow those things in your life, amen, that you know not right, praise God, to continue to rise to the top, amen, you are just going through the motions. But you're going to have to kill, say amen, some of those things in your life. I know what I'm talking about. There are some things, Sister Washington, that I had to kill. Praise God. There are some things, praise God, Sister Lee, that I had to kill. Amen. And when I say kill them, I had to kill them dead. Graveyard dead. Because if you don't, man, they're gonna raise that ugly head. You see, all this we learn through his teaching. That's why it's so important for us as believers to stick around the word. That's why it's important for us as believers to stick around one another. Amen. I know there's a pandemic going on right now, but there's nothing wrong with picking up the phone. Say, brother, how are you doing? How's the Lord treating you today? Just to hear, praise God. So we see that it was through his teaching, praise God, that he glorified his Father. But not only through his teaching. I'm getting ready to go back to Sunday school this morning. It was through the miracles that he performed. Also, praise God, that he was glorified. Amen. You see, he overruled the known laws of nature and with divine power healed broken and diseased bodies. Yet, Jesus never, praise God, intended for his healing ministry to become an end in itself. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Well, some of y'all know where I'm going. You see, he takes the holistic approach. It makes no sense for your body to be healed and your soul is just as sick and crippled as can be. Praise God. You see, he didn't expect healing to be an end in itself. He wants us to become born, he wants us to become true believers in him. You see, and I look at the Apostle Paul. I know y'all know Paul. There's not a person sitting in the church today who's been around church, haven't heard that name. Paul said in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, amen, you know the story. He walked around and he had a thorn in his flesh. Now, y'all know what a thorn is. A thorn is something that continues to vex you. How many of y'all have ever been stung by a wasp or stung by a bee and the stinger stay in there? How many of y'all have ever been around some briar bushes and the thorn got in your hand? Amen. You couldn't see it, but you knew it was there. And it continued to vex you. But look what Paul said at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 9. He says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. In other words, three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me. Now the he that said unto him was Christ himself.
Look what he said to him. He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Can I just help somebody out this morning? Whatever it is that you're going through, I want you to remember that's greater than he that is in you than he that is in this world. You may be at the lowest wit right now, but hold on to Jesus. Praise God. That ain't nothing but a thorn, and this too shall pass. And look what he said. Look what Paul said after getting that reassurance. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity. Do y'all know what he's saying? He said, yeah, I'm going through something right now. Yeah, my body doesn't feel good right now. My body may be racked with pain right now. Praise God. But I much rather glory in my infirmity. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. So all Paul is trying to say that he was going to hold on to God's unchanging hand. You see, in such times of trials and testing, a believer learns to concentrate on Christ Jesus more completely. Life for me, and I believe life for you, would be a dull thing if you never went through something. Oh, Lordy. Oh, I'm going somewhere, y'all. If I never experienced any trials in my life, if I never experienced no heartaches in my life, if I never experienced any testing in my life, then I would not know what the power of God is. Because as we go through things, praise God, he lets us know that I'm that there with you. That's why he could tell David, yea, though I walk through the shadow of death, he says, what, thou art with me. I know David was the one that said it, but David was letting us know that, praise God, whatever it is that you're going through, you have Jesus with you. It's going to be all right. You see, we cannot always know the mind of God in these matters. When it is his will to exercise his miraculous healing power, we give him all the praise anyway. Praise God, for he does so always, so that he glorify himself and not man. So what am I trying to say? You're going through something. You've been hurting. You're going through some pain. Loved ones may not be acting right. Praise God. Just hang in there. Amen. Hang in there. Praise God. God is going to work it out. Praise God. And he's going to work it out for your good. Amen. You see, so Jesus glorified the Father, amen, by his teaching and by his miracles. But Jesus also glorified the Father in that he finished the work God gave him to do. Oh, I like this one. You see, some people do not finish anything. They start out some things with some good intentions, but as soon as they encounter some difficulties or indifferences, they throw up their hand, throw in the towel, and say, I quit. Yeah. Amen. We can't have those kind of people in God's army. Yeah, you just can't. Yeah. Amen. Students, I have noticed, quit school because they cannot have their way. Amen. Not realizing that me not driving a car today me not having a couple of more dollars in my pocket today, if I stay in school, praise God, in the long run, praise God, it's going to pay off. Amen. I just had to say that. Praise God. So if you contemplating quitting school, whether it's high school, college, I better back up, whether or not it's elementary school, because you can't have your way, praise God, you better try to start focusing yourself. Praise God, because there is a thing called a long run. Amen. And you can't look at life in the short run. Amen. You see, my brothers and my sisters, can I remind every last one of us in here, if you haven't already figured it out, this Christian journey that we are on is not an easy journey. Oh, yeah, I know that somebody told you that if you give your life to Christ, everything was going to be all right. Nobody was going to lie on you no more. Nobody was going to talk about you no more. Nobody was going to backbite about you. Nobody was going to gossip on you. But let me just right now, if you came to him under those false pretenses, let me bust your bubble right now, because this life that we walk, praise God, is not an easy life. I often ask myself, praise God, what if Jesus had given up as easy as we give up? Oh, my God. Amen. If he had given up going to the cross, if he had given up taking the beating, where would we be right now? He hung in there. Praise God. He did not give up, because his was a labor of love. Jesus said in that text, he said, I have finished the work which thou gave me to do. And we find that on the cross, he said in one of his last said, it is finished. The work of redemption, praise God, that he had come down to do was completed. In other words, he had endured the cross because there was set before him the joy of a completed work. The Hebrew writer puts it this way, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, the Bible indicates that Jesus found joy, praise God, in this work that was assigned to him. Yeah. Can I just digress for a minute? Yeah. I look at myself. Mm-hmm. I found joy when I was on active duty in the United States Marine Corps. If the balloon had gone up, I would have put my life on the line for freedom. Amen. Uh-huh. I would. I get joy out of what I do now. Yeah, amen. Yeah. I do. Yeah. Praise God. It's not a chore. Yeah. It's not a burden. Yeah. Some people come up to me and say, man, you're working and you're pastoring a church. You're this, you're that. You got so much stuff going on. How in the world can you do all that? I have to remind them that I get joy out of doing it. I at school, I continue to teach because I get joy out of directing the lives of these young kids that I come in contact with. I don't want them to realize that there is nothing out there that's worth having. Amen. So I get joy out of